You wanted to get quick information about the weekly Sabbath school lesson? Well, you're nearly there. Just press the button and you will get important key information about the weekly theme. Easy to understand. Short inversion. 5 minutes each day. 30 minutes each week. You will be well prepared for Sabbath in church. Your friends will be astonished about your knowledge. The promise, God's everlasting covenant. How can it be that the Most High of the universe is willing to make a covenant with you? How can it happen that a relationship with your Creator may succeed? Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to study the theme, the promise, God's everlasting covenant. Lesson 6, Abraham's seed. Our memory text for this week is in 1 Peter Chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Above all people. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 5, we read, verse 6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Above all people. Now this is an enormous verse. When we have a look at Israel, it is not the biggest area where it lived. They were not the people with the greatest multitude of people on earth. It was a chosen people. Because their first father, Abraham, was a person who believed. He was a believer in God. And then the blessing went on and on and on and on. Because he showed his children after him how to trust God. And therefore, God made a covenant with them. Not just with Abraham, but with the next generation and the next one and the next one and the next one. An everlasting covenant. Not just for one generation, an everlasting covenant. In the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 16, in verse 8, we have a parable how we have to look at this. It's a man, a woman, and this time of courtship, how it works. We read in verse 8, God says, "Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. Oh. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yeah. I swore unto you and entered into a covenant with you, says the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." That's interesting. How this situation developed into courtship, covenant, marriage, the Almighty God and the people of Israel. It was the time of love. Out of love they were elected. Because the first father, he believed. He was a believer. This is the special point in this. Land deal. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we read in the first verse, "And it shall come to pass, if you shall hear diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth." Now, this is a promise, isn't it? What should they have to do? To observe and to do all his commandments. So that's it. That's the condition. It's only that. Why so? Because this is the way for blessings. If you go another way, you will lose the blessings, because it's not the way of blessings. If you want to get blessings, you must go the way for blessings. You must walk on this path and not leave it. And if we go on to verse 15, "But it shall come to you, if you will not hear unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all the commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day." What will happen then? "All these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." Not because God wants to do you any harm, but you leave the path of blessings and you walk on another path. And there you will not find any blessings, but only curses. So it's your choice. He is not the one who will show you, "You must. If you choose another way, choose it. But But if you choose another way, you will not get to optimum, you will not get to maximum, you will not get to blessings. So be wise, and you will follow the path of God's commandments if you trust Him. So it's a kind of relationship. This is the first step. When two people start a courtship, which should end in a marriage, it's a time of trusting. How far can I trust? Is this a person who will love me more and more and on, or just sometimes? One day this side, one day that side. Will he or she be a loving person continually, on and on and on? And if you have a look at God, He's the one. He takes care of you out of His love for you. He created you. This is the first point. You weren't here if He hadn't loved you. He loves you. Therefore, you started to exist. He is the one who gave life to you. So therefore you belong to Him, and you should follow Him if you want to get the blessings. Be wise. Israel and the covenant. We read in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 8. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked everyone in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. It's crazy, isn't it? Here's someone who tells you, if you go this way, blessings, blessings, blessings will follow you. You say, oh no, I do not trust you. I will choose my own path. I think this path will be the one of blessing and not the one you have shown me. Mistrusting the one who loves you and trusting yourself or whosoever. Isn't this crazy? And then you will experience. The curses will follow. If you lose, if you leave the path of blessings, what will be the consequence? You can look around, you can see it everywhere and anywhere. It's always the same. And it goes on and on for generations. So mistrusting God is the silliest decision you can make. Let me put it like this. It is the silliest decision, mistrusting God. And what is the wisest decision? Trusting God. Then you will move on. When we look at the time of the pre-flood people, we read in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. The wickedness was great. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. Continually only evil continually. And then God looked around. Is there anyone? Is there anyone who is willing to trust me? And then he found Noah. And therefore Noah got the job to build the ark. This big, big boat for all the people. Or for the few people, we should say. And for the many, many animals. Interesting. More animals than people. The animals followed. They followed. They stepped into the ark. Even the slow ones, they all came in, and they were not late. And humans, only a few, only 8 people. And they could have been saved. They saw the open door. They were invited by Noah. And he had told them, do you know why I've built this for 120 years? Why so? For saving you. It's something God has told me. It wasn't my idea. How could I know what will happen in 120 years? I do not know what will happen tomorrow. So how could I manage doing this? But he told me. So this is a great, great chance for you. Just jump in. Why should we? It's always the same habit. Trusting or mistrusting. Those who trust will be saved. Those who mistrust will not be saved. That's it. The remnant. When Jesus will come, there will be only 2 groups of people. Only 2 groups. And one will be a big one and one will be a small one. And we have an interesting word for the small group. The remnant. And we read in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 3, and it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remains in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. He that is left in Zion. Isaiah foretold that there would be a danger. And about 100 years later on, the Babylonians came and took the Jews and they got into the Babylonian captivity for 70 years. There was a danger ahead. But they had not experienced it yet, so they didn't care. And when it happened, they were shocked. Jesus had told his disciples for 3 times, they will take me and crucify me. And they couldn't believe it. But when it happened, they were shocked, although they had heard it for 3 times. And the prophets who lived before this Babylonian captivity, they went on saying and saying, one prophet after the other, danger is ahead. Take care. If you will go on like this, the end will come. Very, very soon. They did not care. And then the Babylonians came and they were taken into captivity for 70 years. Imagine 70 years. When you are 20, then you are 90 when it will end. So forget about it. It's your lifespan, 70 years. And when you are 10, then you are 80 at the end of it. So you're simply in a lifespan situation. And when we read other prophets like Micah in chapter 4, there we read verse 6 and 7. In that day, says the Lord, will I assemble her, the tallest. And I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. I will gather her. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off, a strong nation. So this Babylonian captivity. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion, not in Babylon, in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. Whew, what a promise. And if we go on to Zephaniah in chapter 3, and there to verses 12 and 13, I will also live in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. They shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. None shall make them afraid. They will feed and lie down. They will be safe. They will have peace. They will have a fine, fine time all together. Spiritual Israel. The Apostle Paul wrote in his epistle to the Galatians the following words in chapter 3, verse 26 to 29. And he writes to those who are not Jews. They are Celts living in Galatia. For you are all the children of God. Huh? They are the children of God? Yeah, they are. Why so? By faith in Christ Jesus. Ah, by faith. That's the point. They are not Jews. They are not the elected ones. They are not God's holy people. And here we read, you are all the children of God. Wow! Oh, this was something for their heart. By faith in Christ Jesus. Faith, that's the key word. Abraham, the father of all the Israelites, he was the father of all believers. He was chosen because he believed in God. He trusted God with all his heart. He left his home country. He didn't know where he would come to. And he heard, oh, you will become a multitude of people. Multitude. He didn't have a single son. Not one. But he became a multitude. And he believed and he trusted God, although he was already very, very old. He was 100 when Isaac was born. 100 years. Imagine. He trusted. He trusted in God. He was a believer. For you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, although you are not Jews. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. What an interesting idea what we can find here. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's great. So when the Galatians got this epistle, this letter from Paul, they were delighted. Oh, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, they jumped with joy. We are the elected, although we haven't been elected in the first place. But we are the elected. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? Now that's very interesting, isn't it? If you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed? Although they are not in a relationship to Abraham's blood and flesh. They are not his relatives. But they are believers by faith in Christ Jesus. You get the chance to be there with Abraham. And if you are Abraham's seed, what will happen then? Therefore then, you are heirs according to the promise. Abraham trusted God, he believed in God, had faith in God, and that's the reason why he became a righteous person in the eyes of God. This was the important point. Here we can read it. Summary. Our memory verse for this week in the first epistle of Peter, in the second chapter, and there verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. So is he writing to Jews? Let's look at the beginning of this epistle. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers. Oh, well, not to the Jews. It's to the strangers. Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. To the strangers. He writes to the strangers, but what has he written? But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Peter, are you right in your opinion? Is that true? It is. You are the chosen generation. You are the royal priesthood. Why, sir? That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. You were not a people. You were not God's holy people. You were strangers. You were strangers. It's written here. In time past, you were not a people, but are now the people of God. Now you are. Because you have faith in Christ Jesus, which had not obtained mercy, but now hath obtained mercy. In time past, no mercy. But now, mercy. You hadn't obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. Why so? Because of faith in Christ Jesus. You are a chosen generation. You strangers, you not choose those who were not a people of God, those who had not, as we have read it here, obtained mercy. Now you have got it. What a privilege! What a privilege! We are chosen generation. Israel is the oil tree, but it was cut, and you were put into it. You were taken from another wild tree. You were taken and put into the oil tree of Israel. They were cut off, and you were put in. Why are you there? Only by faith in Christ Jesus. That's the only reason. Trusting him saves you. Mistrusting him, what will happen then? You will lose your life forever. Trusting him, you will gain your life forever. What will you choose? Which side do you want to belong to? Jesus Christ, he is the one who loves you. So why shouldn't you trust him and follow him and obey his commandments and tell him how fond you are of him, because he did everything, he has done everything for you out of his love. And if your reaction is love towards him, asking for forgiveness, he will give you eternal life. That's Jesus. Amen.